all sentient living beings enjoy this pure realm. Holy Lamas high, wrap the sky of your Dharma bodies in massive clouds of knowledge and love, and let them pour upon the earth of your disciples as we are ready, a shower of rain, the teachings deep and wide.
So we've been going over and analyzing the text, The Lamp for the Path to Enlightenment, by the great master Atisha, Dipamkara Sri Jnana. And we've been going over the stages of the path to enlightenment, and particularly the stages of the path that are shared in common with beings of a small capacity, or in teachings that are shared in common, teachings that are shared in common with beings of a medium capacity, and up to the teachings that are for the great scope practitioner. So we've been going over this particular text in order to extract the meaning, and the meaning is how does one traverse the stages of the path for a small scope? How does one traverse the stages of the path for the medium scope, and so forth? So this is what we've been going over, and this is what this text explains in an abbreviated fashion.
Oye, da jebu chungu da thumu ya laji jenpa senga de tenne nga su shi ne ane tanda nga su meyi lue ten cawa jibu tu ne yuwa res shirag meyi lue ten cawa jibu re meyi lue ten nyuba jibu re meyi sen nyuba jibu re ane chue jiga ina gari jena ane meyi lue ten tu yue zang ane shirag nyuba jibu yuwa res penyo jibu yuwa res penyo jibu yuwa res
When we look particularly at the small scope, we can see that at this point in time we have the human basis, which is very important and has very many vast qualities and abilities. It's based upon this human basis that we can do many different things, but we do realize that we will have to pass away. So the small scope practitioner focuses on the human basis and its abilities and recognition of the death that will come.
Da shume bi yokasa gwa shume zuta meilu de zwa chuba da re de yina meilu de mada bares shine ane nge zona mda ne jiba yina kam se ane dunga nyu gu je re ane nge song gu chuba chungu da thumu la je remba de lo jang bi chu de ane nge song gu dunga le ji shin ta ne ane jondu ju ni sang yu gu ne ane kun chu song la jo su ro le de song ane de ba le sha dang je wo de ne jin sa re ma re ba
So when one looks at this human basis that he or she has, there is also a recognition that it is impermanent and it will not last. So the small scope practitioner recognizes that at the time of death there is a potential to be born into the lower realms. And the lower realms are full of various types of suffering. So the small scope practitioner wishes to be relieved from rebirth into the lower realms or be free from the causal factors that give rise to rebirth into the lower realms of suffering. So he or she then produces refuge within his or her own continuum by producing the two causal factors for refuge, and then focuses on the law of cause and effect or action or karma and its effects in order to be relieved of the causal factors that would produce a rebirth into the lower realms that he or she wishes to be free from.
Oje ta jebu chung chung da tumen la jebu chung da kar shu war nga sung du nge la ne la ta me de zang de zang ji shung da nya bi sang lu de wa de jang de yin sa de
de yang je su ma
nga sung du nge ka de ne la ta mal che na ane la ta mal che su na jebu chung le gu gu rin di le gu re che mu la gu wa de sang lu de yin sa
so this is not an exclusive desire or exclusive factors. There are not exclusive factors within this small scope. This is why it is called shared in common with the small scope, because the desire to eradicate rebirth into the lower realms and to try to produce rebirth into the higher realms and the gods and so forth is something that is in common with the other vehicles as well, or the other scopes as well. So this is not an exclusive view. This is why it is called shared in common with the small scope.
Dan din da tu yin la ji de ba lu jiang zu de ane nge song le tan la da ma le ji ba yin ne ru wa ri du ga ba ji ba yin na du nge ji du nge de ju du nge cha ba du ji du nge me sa yo ma res ane din yin so da ane de da bi de ne cha ba du ji du nge so ge ba du nge le nge ba ju ne ane be du nge bon bi ta ba tu na nya be sang lu de le jiang de ane dunga denpa tu kunju denpa nyi pongja gu den tang langja lang den nyi pute nyansu langja ta ti tabu lo jang bi chu te jibun ting tang tumu yin langja yunga lo jang su yun saris
So when we move to the medium scope or teachings that are shared in common with the being of medium capacity or medium scope just a translator's note, those are all synonymous. Medium scope practitioner, being of medium capacity. Different translators use different translations, so I'm trying to use a variety of them so people can be aware of them, so when you see them in books you'll know what they mean. So that was just a translator's note. So the medium scope practitioner recognizes that wherever he or she goes within the six realms of cyclic existence, there is suffering that has to be endured. The three types of suffering, such as the suffering of change, the suffering of suffering, and the pervasive compounded suffering, whether one is in the higher or lower realms, All of these types of suffering can be found, and particularly the medium scope practitioner, a being of medium capacity, wishes to renounce even the most subtle kind of suffering, which is the pervasive compounded suffering. So then he or she abandons the first two of the noble truths, the truth of suffering and the truth of origin. So this practitioner abandons the suffering, or wishes to definitely get out of suffering, then abandons the origin or the causal factors for that suffering, then practices the second two noble truths, which is the truth of path and the truth of cessation. So he or she then engages in a path that leads to a cessation, where the abandonment of the causal factors for any of the six realms of cyclic existence takes place. So this is what a being of medium capacity is said to be. It is a being who renounces all six realms of cyclic existence, wishes to achieve liberation, and then practices a path that will lead to that liberation that abandons all of the types of suffering.
Ane kuali thana, rani ngansungu dungan thana nyambi sanglo matu sijen thanchi li santangwa maris. Ane, ta jibu chimbi lo jangu du, ane sijen thanchi li santangwa lo jangu maris marbe.
So, although profound, these, the small scope and the medium scope focuses on the liberation or cessation of suffering from one's own side. It doesn't focus on other sentient beings and wishing to free them. The thought here for a small capacity practitioner is to be able to be relieved from the three lower realms for his or herself alone. So to be able to be relieved from the side of the individual, not focusing on others. The medium scope practitioner wishes to be free from cyclic existence altogether and to achieve nirvana or liberation. But again, this is only for him or herself alone, not focusing on other sentient beings. When we arrive at the great scope or the great capacity practitioner, this type of practitioner not only focuses on his or her own suffering, but also uses as his or her own object of observation other sentient beings. So the great scope practitioner's view is much more grand because of focusing on others as well as him or her own self. At the root of the great capacity or the great scope is the recognition that I do not like the three types of suffering, for instance. I do not wish to experience the suffering of change, the suffering of suffering, the pervasive compounded suffering. I would like to have a pleasant feeling all the time. And then there is a recognition that, like myself, all other sentient beings wish to have pleasant feelings and do not wish to have the suffering of change and the pervasive compounded suffering and the suffering of suffering. So then the recognition takes place that all other sentient beings, like myself, have to suffer, and how nice it would be if those sentient beings could be taken to a place that was free from suffering, that was always pleasant. It's this type of thought and this type of effect of bringing sentient beings to a place of happiness that not only fulfills their needs, but also fulfills our own needs. So by wishing and by taking other sentient beings to a place beyond suffering, not only helps or benefits them, but also ourselves.
Mm-hmm. sinchen thangji ge dungen de ane me ba shun na nya ba san lu ta ba yin na san lu de pe me ji ge ja che bu re ja che bu phe che bu re de yin so zo de de nya so lang ga de the ba chen bu thi jin ma ya na so bu re ma re
de shun ju na la
ma ya na ale tu da de lo ne bu
okay then this great scope or this great capacity practitioner focuses on all others. So if it is beneficial to help one person, for instance, if one person has tuberculosis or the TB disease, if one person has that, if it's beneficial to try to help that one person, imagine the benefit that is created or the positive potential that is created by focusing on all sentient beings, wishing to relieve all sentient beings from their all types of suffering. So we can see that this great scope is called great scope because the motivation or the actual thinking that goes behind this is much more vast or much greater because it not only focuses on one person, it focuses on all sentient beings. So this is why it is called great.
Oje tetabe ne shanchu ge sen shanchu ge sen sije thaje ge den do an saje ge mo to ba ne saje ne an sije ge ngolo do nge me ba zo ya da an do nge me ba zo ya da an sije thaje do wa lu ngo ya o tin de ji ge den go ba la da na ngal nyu ba mu do an do ma nge saje ne an sije ge ngol do wa lu ngo ge yi do nge me ba zo ge yi nya be sa lu de shanchu ge sen su go ri te ba chen bi lu de ji da su go ri ba
So here, this refers, what we've been speaking of, refers to the mind that aspires to enlightenment. The mind that aspires to enlightenment, or bodhicitta. And bodhicitta is the mind that desires to free or all sentient beings from suffering, or eradicate all the sufferings of sentient beings. Here, this mind wishes to fulfill all the desires of sentient beings and lead all sentient beings to a place that is only full of happiness, where there is nothing but happiness, and everything that they wish for or desire, they have. So we recognize that it's necessary to become a Buddha in order to do this. So this mind that desires to become a Buddha is called bodhicitta, or the mind that aspires to enlightenment.
ओ सिजे थाजे गतो सोजे गुमो तुबा जाओ ने सालो दल शांचुक सेंस दरेस सालो शांचुक से ते थेबा छेमे जोगुरेस शांचुक से जुल जे सोन थेजे गति सुनुगुरे शांचुक से बचा नगुरेस मतलब
सो द थेचेंग गि जु
जोगु जोगु डोर
जुगो जुगो ओके
माया नो डोर
So this mind that aspires to enlightenment, that wishes to bring all sentient beings to a place of enlightenment that is beyond sorrow, or to bring all sentient beings to Buddhahood, is called bodhicitta, or the mind that aspires to enlightenment. And this is said to be the door of the Mahayana. This mind that aspires to enlightenment is the door in which one enters the Mahayana. Once one has bodhicitta, then he or she becomes a bodhisattva. And it is said that this mind generation, it's also called, that takes place, is the door, the causal door to the great vehicle, or Mahayana. So it's been stated in the Abhisama Alamkara by Lord Maitreya, which is the ornament for clear realization. It's been stated in there that once this mind generation takes place, one can bring others to a state that they desire to be brought to and fulfills one's and others' own needs. And this mind generation is called bodhicitta. So here, this quote is found in the Abhisama Alamkara, and the meaning of this is very similar to what's been previously explained, that this mind generation fulfills the needs of self and others, and this mind generation is called bodhicitta.
다시 안쪽에 센트 매바 이나 안 주주던 뭐시도 나갈 보야던 살 줘야던 어떤 뭐시도 가지 싶어 이나 아 요데 처브레스 이네 티징 주주도 뭐 티바 쳔버레 두고 말스 티바 쳔버레 발라 대답이 상로 자치고 안쪽 센트 고거스
So if one does not have this mind that aspires to enlightenment, even if he or she is clairvoyant and can fly in the sky and can burrow underground without having obstruction, even if he or she has all of these miraculous powers, if they do not have bodhicitta or the mind that aspires to enlightenment, then they, it cannot be said that they are Mahayana practitioners or great vehicle practitioners or great scope practitioners. It's only those who have generated this great mind that can be called Mahayanists.
Mm-hmm.
And although a Hinayanist, a Hinayana practitioner can achieve the state of foe destroyer or arhat and can completely eradicate the afflictive obstructions, he or she still is not a Buddha because the obstructions to omniscience have not been eradicated. So we can see that although a Hinayanist has great qualities, their great qualities are nowhere near as great as that of those of a Mahayana practitioner. Wherever this mind has been generated, whether it be in a human being or in a rabbit or in an animal or in any of the other six realms, once this mind has been generated, then this practitioner is called a child of the Buddhas or is a Buddha's child. So sometimes in text, translators note, you'll see children of the Buddhas. This refers to bodhisattvas.
Tā shāngchūka sēn tu yōpa yīnā rībhūn yīnā rā kārī yīnā sīnyēn tu sūkī anī tīmē dhācchūka kāngāla sēch nio nukhī rīs kū sēn jāchūka tu yōrā bā tīmē hēnā yāna sēch nio tu kūrīs
Hākūsā So, wherever this mind has been generated, no matter if it's in a rabbit or any other kind of being, the moment this mind has been generated, this type of being is even higher, even though they're an animal and have achieved only bodhicitta, it appears. They are even higher than, are considered to be higher than a Hinayana foe destroyer or a lesser vehicle practitioner who has achieved arhatship. So it is said that it's because this mind is so vast and great that the practitioner who generates it is even higher than one who has completed the path in the other vehicles. The Chupabu Yu Garyakshu Shanchu Senpa Yu
Yakshu. Shanchu Sen Chupabu Yu Yashu Riz. Chubi Shin Chudu Chuba. Chubi Shin Chudu Chuba.
Then Sewa Lagu.
Hai Piola.
Then Yanjir, the Nga the Shanchu Senpa Chupa Dama, the Sunan Chembo. Sunan
Chembo.
Sunan Chembo.
Sanjil Chupabu Yu Shanchu Senpa Chupabu Yu Yina Chupa Pen Chores.
Ale, Shanchu Senpa Sanjay Lapa. So it is, I just want to always make sure it's literal. So it has been said that making an offering to bodhicitta is the highest offering. We can make offerings to various gods, we can make offerings to Buddhas and so forth. But it's said that when one makes an offering to bodhicitta, that that offering is even higher than making it to any of the other deities. So it is also said that if one has this mind that aspires to enlightenment, if one has bodhicitta, and then makes one offering, just one offering, or one offering that passes a moment, it has been said that that moment creates more merit than the tamaya, the sunam gats, the sunam chi gatsu.
Suna das haji tajil shoba biwalea, shanchu sam sam tajaba the chuba, suna the lit moyo.
Okay. So it is said that when one has this mind in a moment, it is more merit than offering something to all of the Buddhas that reside in all of the directions.
Oje dat ne tu de la saba, suna go tu da ishi go tu. Sanje go tu bala suna go tu da ishi go tu ni sa go des. Suna go tu da ishi go tu ishi tu de. अने छोटे से कुन्ह लेल हाबे जिन साथ हुए रहे शांचु के सेन साने याने यान सांता वाई ना शांचु के सेन याने यान सांता वाई ना सो नंग छोटा इसी के छो लेल हाबे जिन साथ हुए रहे मैं तो भी उसमें इजी मैं की या
So in order to achieve the state of complete Buddhahood, it's necessary to have both the collection of merit and the collection of wisdom. These two collections are necessary in order to achieve the state of Buddhahood. So if one constantly familiarizes with him or herself with the mind that aspires to enlightenment or bodhicitta, then this collection of merit and collection of wisdom will come very quickly. The collections will amass very quickly if one has this familiarization with bodhicitta at the basis of actions.
Mm-hmm.
So the Umajupa? Okay. So it's been stated that in texts that the great goose flies over, in order for the great goose to fly over the great ocean, it's necessary to have two wings. Likewise, in order to go over the ocean of cyclic existence to Buddhahood, it's necessary to have the two wings of method and wisdom. And here, method and wisdom refers to the collection of merit and the collection of wisdom. So it's necessary to have both of these collections in order to achieve complete Buddhahood. Now, if one constantly familiarizes him or herself with the mind that aspires to enlightenment, then these two collections will amass much quicker. So it's important to think again and again about bodhicitta in order to quickly arrive at the result, because the merit and collection of merit and wisdom is accumulated quicker with this aspirational mind, or this mind that aspires to enlightenment. Without this aspirational mind, or the mind or bodhicitta, it takes very long time to amass or to collect this merit and wisdom necessary.
Oje, that the thing as you joa toma mevan tati, but the luju gun deba mosa yore, nagu gun deba mosa yore, ijugune, sasha debugna, and saint will debig summon yores. Debig summon tele, send on the shaman dunga, masul dunga yores, masul dunga dugo maris, dunga jigi, and the deba to zungalo, and a shadow gin tau gores, shanchu the same gungina, deba to the little habitan gores.
So since beginningless time, our mind has been imbued with negativity or faults. We have engaged in various misdeeds, and since beginningless time, those misdeeds have left seeds within our mental continuum, negative seeds. These seeds, when the conditions are appropriate, will give rise to suffering or to negative experiences. They will surely give rise to this because the potential is there. But it's possible to purify them, and if a purification takes place, then the result will not be experienced. But if purification has not taken place, then these seeds will give rise to suffering. By familiarizing oneself with bodhicitta, or the mind that aspires to enlightenment, the possibility or potential is there to purify very quickly these misdeeds that we previously accumulated that are in the form of seeds within our mental continuum. So these seeds can be purified extremely quickly by meditating on bodhicitta.
Oje tatne kaju gore tatne diba to su ngalo tatne nyabo to je no nyabo to je no ne shachu ge sen de chalu go ba ten ji do ja yo wa wa de an shuen ju le de su diba to je shin du ma ze ba den du bi shachu sen me ba ge jen kong ge se jin ne ba ju rus an ne shachu du wa ta se du wa diba she da chibu du su an ne shachu ge sen ma go ba yin na ta tu wa ka le khabur es shuen ju le su ba res
la sa So it's been stated in the Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life, or the Bodhichara Avatara by Shantideva, that without the aspirational mind, it's very difficult to purify the greatest misdeeds. So Shantideva has stated that without having the mind that aspires to enlightenment as the basis, it's very difficult to purify things that are of great misdeeds. So we can even see in the four opponent powers, the purification ritual of the four opponent powers, that the power of basis, which is one of the four opponent powers, is called the Denshido. Power of basis is refuge in bodhicitta. So the basis of this practice of the four opponent powers is the first off refuge in the three jewels as the basis, and second, the mind that aspires to enlightenment or bodhicitta.
Oje tatne diba ngazu sa sa ba ina ta na diba sa sa ngal du ngi ngur se se to le se ma ji ba de ne phe tu yo ma res cha chu se go cha lu ji wa ten de go sa ba ina diba ta no du bas ne angula ma la tu su ge diba mo sa ba re diba ta ba res wa de an ngazu cha chu se go ne diba ta yo res
So if we've engaged in misdeeds, it's not helpful to sit around and be depressed and do nothing about it. What is helpful is to familiarize oneself with bodhicitta and to do meditation and to engage in practices. Just being depressed and being upset that one engaged in something they shouldn't have does not help. So action must take place. So we can see that if beings such as Angulimala were able to purify their misdeeds, then we should be able to do the same. So we should think about this.
Oje tane jisan be samba tan jin du ba shang chu sen le sang le ya ba tan ba yin na so so sang lu ka le ka le kan de ju ba yin na sang lu ya ba kang du yung res de ba kang du yung res ha da me ku ngu de ba yo ba yin na tu tu re ta bu tu ya de ba yin na yung re sang je ya de ba yin na shang chu sen le sang tan ba yin na so so sang lu ya kang du yung res
So as we think more of this mind that aspires to enlightenment and become more familiar with this mind, all of our own desires or wishes is a better word. Desire connotates something different. All of our wishes can be fulfilled. If we wish to achieve a rebirth into the higher realms, we can achieve that. If we wish to achieve liberation, then we will achieve that. If we wish to achieve complete Buddhahood, then we will achieve that. As the mind that aspires to enlightenment is enforced, then the potential or the effects that it produces becomes greater. So this is why it's important to be familiar with the mind that aspires to enlightenment.
Oje ta shang chu sen la san ne ab ta wa yin na de ne du gi ba chi tu zu tu ya ka bu yin sa ris shang chu sen gu shang ba de gu ba yin na du dang dong de tu zu ge ne ba ji ba yin na ne ba ka le ka bu yin sa ris
So if we are familiarize ourselves with this mind that aspires to enlightenment, it's very difficult for harmful spirits to bother us, or enemies is literally, or not enemies, or harmful spirits or any obstructions that might come, obstructions or obscurations to come if we have this mind that aspires to enlightenment. It's very difficult for them to harm us.
And sanje lga ke khaji ke yo ma su ko shamba ta shang chu ge sen gu su du ma res an da na du du zu gen da na chen cha ma po an an sanje l ne ji de ba ja ne chen cha du zu gen ma du cha du ma res du gen ma jong ma res
we can see in the story at the time of passing for the Buddha, or passing beyond sorrow of the Buddha, where he was sitting under the Bodhi tree, and all of the harmful spirits and Maras and various demons came to try to harm him. And Buddha was undisturbed. Buddha sat in meditation, and he meditated upon love for others while this was taking place. And instead of being harmed, when the various spirits and demons were yielding their weapons and shooting various arrows and so forth at Buddha, all of these weapons were turning into flowers the moment that they were being used on Buddha. So they couldn't harm him, and this is because of the mind that had been the mind that he had generated, and because of this mind, he could not be harmed. But this is for beings who have achieved the higher realizations. For someone like us to just once or twice familiarize or just familiarize ourselves in the beginning with the mind that aspires to enlightenment, we can't expect that we won't have obstructions or obscurations or be harmed. We can't, as initial practitioners, expect that just a brief familiarization will allow us to achieve these results. This is a result that will be achieved later as the realizations become stronger, such as the case of Buddha. So we'll be able to traverse the various paths very quickly if we have at the basis of our practice this mind that aspires to enlightenment, or bodhicitta. If we have this mind that aspires to enlightenment, and we familiarize ourselves again and again with it, and we try to become familiar with it, then slowly we achieve the realizations of love and compassion, and we can start to traverse the various paths, such as the path of accumulation, the path of preparation, the path of seeing, the path of meditation, and the path of no more learning. We can begin to traverse the 10 bodhisattva grounds that have to be traversed, beginning at the path of seeing. And we can go through the various paths and grounds that are necessary for us to achieve complete enlightenment. And we will traverse these paths very quickly if we are utilizing this mind that aspires to enlightenment. So we'll be able to go through all of these various bodhisattva grounds and levels of the Mahayana paths and stages if we have bodhicitta.
So
it's been stated in Chandrakirti's entrance to the Middle Way, or the Madhyamika Avatara. It's been stated that the hearers and the solitary realizers are a result of the Buddha. Because the hearers and solitary realizers depend upon the Buddha, who gives the various teachings, then the hearers and solitary realizers experience their results and achieve their realization in their vehicle because of the Buddha. It is said that the Buddha is a result of the Bodhisattva. So the Bodhisattva is what causes the Buddha. So here this distinction is made by Chandrakirti in the Madhyamika Avatara, that the causal factors for the two are a little bit different. So the Bodhisattva is produced by meditation upon bodhicitta. So the mind that aspires to enlightenment and familiarization with that produces the Bodhisattva.
다 생전 타지게 되와 대상주 생나 되는 정도 거리스 상주 생례 산의 아버탄 바이나 생전 타지를 지부용 거리스 생전 타지게 되와 대 상주 생나 되는 정도 거리스
So the basis of the mind that aspires to enlightenment is others the wishing for others to be at a state of complete happiness beyond sorrow so the causal factor for the bodhicitta is the reliance upon or focus upon other sentient beings and the wish to bring them to a state beyond sorrow
what the shaju sel san dang in a pip chures the lhaba chun san dang kal kavres and the shaju sel san dang in a zochen yan le jekin jin a shaju sel san ma dan zochen yuwa kal kavres and the mahamral san dang ne shaju sel san ma dan kal kavres and nga gi jude je dan to sukin galo shaju sel ma san ma dan kal kavres
So we can see that this mind that aspires to enlightenment is indispensable it's very important we can't say that there's a higher practice than bodhicitta. We would never say that. If one doesn't have as the basis the mind that aspires to enlightenment or bodhicitta, then the Dzogchen practice is not possible. If one does not have as a basis the mind that aspires to enlightenment, thank you, then the Mahamudra practice is not possible. The four classes of Tantra are not possible. None of these things are possible without the mind that aspires to enlightenment. And this is why it is said there is no higher view. So where are these deities of the four classes of Tantra? What produces them? What produces all of these practices or abilities and miraculous powers? What produces them is the mind that aspires to enlightenment. Or bodhicitta. If this is not present, then these other things are not produced. These are resultant vehicles, and they are not are not beneficial or cannot be practiced properly without bodhicitta.
What the adisha ke lampa thakin deba thende larin chembu thang larin din thang thusu nalu lo what the deba thusu songdu yawaris.
And we can see in the commentaries to the Lamp for the Path to Enlightenment. Such as the great treatise on the stages of the path to enlightenment by Lama Tsongkhapa and the abbreviated stages of the path by Lama Tsongkhapa, the medium, the great Lam Rim, medium Lam Rim, and small Lam Rim. We can find, in this commentary, all of these explanations, in these commentaries, all of these explanations.
ওজে দাদন গাসু দে লান্ডং গ জাও দ খাজং জি রুজ জি দানা দে আঞ্জা জি 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 না জি বু চবি খাদু তোমার বে রাজু তু বি দং গ জি গাজি জেন জি দং গ কুন ইয়া দা সেব কুন দে জি বু দন চু ই নোস জি বু চেম বস গান দ গান দে জি লে কুজুল আং গ দে না ইন জি দে জানা রাজু তু বি দং গ জি গাজি জেন জি দং গ কুন ইয়া দা সেব কুন দে জি
নাপা
তো কুজুল আল দাম দ চি
So here we'll go back to the root text, although we've gone over it, we're going to read it again. The fifth stanza where it says, those who through their personal suffering truly want to end completely all the suffering of others are persons of supreme capacity.
Ta chibu chimbu sikin ta kanda jil shabu jawu re. Chibu chimbu sikin ta kanda jil shabu ranju tu bi dunga je kanshi yin ji dunga kunya da seba kunya ndus ngaru dunga il gabu yo mare ngansungu dunga il gabu yo mare kuyu dunga il gabu mundu ten na jin sin jen thanje dunga il gabu yo mare sin jen thanje ane sin jen thanje dunga seba ndubi kaza tanda jila chibu chimbu sikin res what this was
so here the explanation is what is a great capacity practitioner what is the being of medium scope what is what is their characteristics? And here it says, those who through their own personal suffering, truly want to end completely all the suffering of others. So here, this practitioner recognizes the suffering of cyclic existence takes place, then recognizes it, and then recognizes that like oneself, all other beings wish to have happiness. And at this point, they do not have that. They are suffering. So here, this being then truly wishes to completely end that suffering for others as well as oneself after the recognition of personal suffering has taken place. So here, this being is called a person of supreme capacity or a great scope practitioner.
ngaru dungel gabu yo mare sinje thaji dungel gabu yo mare ngaru dewal gabu re sinje thaji dewal gabu re sinje thaji dewal da deba da dungen me ba guba di je do saji gu thu ba sha wo nya be san lu yo ken de le che bu chen bu su re s mar ba
so this person who thinks like myself all sentient beings wish to have happiness and like myself all sentient beings wish to be free from suffering. May I take them to a place which is beyond suffering and is a place of total happiness. May they be brought to a state to unsurpassable, true, complete enlightenment. So here, once the desire to free all sentient beings, to become a Buddha in order to free all sentient beings from suffering takes place, then this being is called a being of medium great capacity or supreme capacity.
ओजे सिजे थाजे गुदन थाजे गुम तुबो जाओ ने बिशांचु से ओत शांचु से देन दु गोरिस शांचु से यो गन दल जेबि छिम लोग रेस शांचु से दु गोगि ने फे छिब रेस ताकि फे मो बिशु यो फे चुन दु वास लो साइन बस
So when we speak of the mind that aspires to enlightenment, this is a mind that wishes to bring all sentient beings to a state beyond suffering and to a state of only happiness. So when this desire or wish takes place to bring sentient beings to a state beyond sorrow of happiness, then it is said that the mind that aspires to enlightenment is produced because that state beyond sorrow of only happiness is complete Buddhahood.
Tandi jibu chebu dudu jinu songshaba nagres.
So here is the condensed or abbreviated meaning of the great scope, but there will be more enhancements to that as we go on later on through the text. It's very important to speak of the benefits initially of the mind that aspires to enlightenment, what's good about it. About bodhicitta, because if we haven't spoken of the benefits, then it would be very difficult for us to engage in the practice to lead to the result of bodhicitta. So this is the reason that we speak of the benefits. For instance, if we have to engage in work, we want to know we're getting something out of the work that we're doing. If we weren't given, before we went to do the work, any idea of what the result would be or why we were doing it, we probably wouldn't engage in the work. And that's why it's necessary for us to, in the beginning to go over the benefits or the reasons behind or the reasons for achieving bodhicitta in order for us to truly wish to engage in the practices that lead to it. So the Buddha, Shakyamuni Buddha has achieved enlightenment, but it's stated that all sentient beings have Buddha nature, or have the same exact potential. So where is this Buddha nature or Buddha potential? It's called both things. Where is this Buddha nature or potential? It's the mental consciousness, the non-mistaken views within the mental consciousness. So it's important that it's not the wrong views or wrong consciousness, it's the non-mistaken views within the consciousness. And the fact that the mental consciousness is not truly established or not truly existent. So it has no nature from its own side. So this is the reason given that the all beings possess the Buddha nature or Buddha potential. So there is not a sentient being that does not possess this potential, because there is not a sentient being that does not possess the mental consciousness that creates the potential. Dene chi gardonigare. The tsik chi chiran lasong ni ching me. Chi de yanjir surana.
Ta yiji sheba. Yiji sheba yorwa. Yiji sheba dili chu tangji sheya gu nuba yorwa.
De shing yu.
Nuba yorwa. Tanda nga zu chu tangji ma sheba di kare jina nyuma bat shi yi jiba di deris.
Gis ko deris. Ji donigare.
Dibas.
Dibas. Stain. Close. Stain. Stain. Okay.
This guy no more.
Then the tamaladana.
Oh. That the diva go the waters. The diva the taya ge thaje the me ba zuba la shang chu ge sen gong gure. Chu ni sa gu re. Shang chu ge sen da chu ni sa wa le den ne diva da zu na sen se jian ta ji sa ji ne ge re. Sen zang song ji zan ni da be ji zong ge ju de ya. Cha ja du ba ji ba cha ge re.
Lesser. So, within this mental consciousness, we have the ability to have an all-knowing mind or an omniscient mind. The potential is there, but there are various obscurations that are very similar to stains that are blocking our ability to be able to realize this potential. So we have afflictive obstructions within our mental consciousness, and we have the obstructions to omniscience. Or the imprints of the imprints, it's sometimes called. So we have all of these obstructions which are not allowing us to achieve this omniscience. But it's necessary in order to achieve omniscience to have this mind that aspires to enlightenment or Buddha or bodhicitta, because by having this bodhicitta, we can purify a large amount of our misdeeds and we can accumulate a large of amount of merit. We can see that it's necessary to have both collections of merit and wisdom in order to achieve complete Buddhahood or omniscience. So the mind that aspires to enlightenment is indispensable because it is half of the of those collections that are necessary to achieve the final result.
So there is a reason
for us to do this meditation upon the mind that aspires to enlightenment. If we could only achieve rebirth into the higher realms, or only achieve liberation, there wouldn't be any reason to do so. But we know otherwise. We recognize the fact that Buddhahood is possible. Each and every one of us has this Buddha potential or Buddha nature. So it's because of this, the incentive is there, because the possibility is there for us to want to meditate upon this mind that aspires to enlightenment in order to achieve these collections, in order to achieve the realization of Buddhahood. So we can see there is a reason, so this gives us incentive. So, if one then, it's difficult to say in some respects, can one achieve these results? Can these mistaken views be eradicated? But we can see in the case of society where we would go to school, in the initial stages of school, a child has ignorance relative to the ABCs, to the alphabet, has an ignorance relative to the alphabet. Then he or she begins to study more and more. And then the ignorance relative to the alphabet, or the mistaken views relative to the alphabet, are eradicated because the child then has learned it and has abandoned that ignorance, or the ignorance relative to the alphabet. And then he or she can move on and go to various levels of school and college and so forth, and can eradicate more and more of the ignorance relative to various phenomena. So then he or she can eradicate these mistaken views. Likewise, a practitioner can eradicate mistaken views through traversing various stages of the path, just like going through college. One familiarizes with him or herself with the two truths and the Four Noble Truths, and begins to engage in analysis about this. And then the mistaken views relative to those topics, or the ignorance relative to those topics, is abandoned. So we can see in the conventional case where we can abandon ignorance, and we can see in this case through practice we can abandon our ignorance. So it's true that the potential is there to extinguish ignorance altogether. And the way that that is done is through traversing the paths that eradicate the afflictive obstructions, or the main afflictions, and the paths that eradicate the obstructions to omniscience, or the imprints of the afflictive obstructions. Once we traverse those stages, then more and more of the ignorance that we have is abandoned. So we are going to have rebirth again and again, and we can engage in practice through these rebirths to achieve the result of Buddhahood. It's quite difficult to say, oh, we're going to do it in this life, or in one lifetime we're going to become a Buddha. This is through engaged effort, again and again familiarizing ourselves with this, and then we would be able to, one thing I forgot, one line from last translation, be able to truly say we could achieve in next life a rebirth as a human and God, or truly say next life we will be achieve liberation or nirvana, or truly say we would be able to achieve Buddhahood. So it's necessary to have this as the basis. So even in the case of Shakyamuni, before he was a complete Buddha, when he was a bodhisattva traversing the path, it's said that after he achieved the mind that aspires to enlightenment and became a bodhisattva, he still took 500 rebirths in the higher realms and 500 rebirths in the lower realms. So we can see that it was not a very quick path for Buddha Shakyamuni, who was previously like ourselves, and was able to achieve Buddhahood. So it's quite difficult, though, to say, is there a previous life, is there a future life? And then we have to engage in analysis and say, is there or isn't there, and where does the consciousness come from, if there is or isn't? We need to engage in analysis and figure out whether this is true or not. So we say, where does the consciousness come from that the child has? Is that consciousness the mother's consciousness? Is it the father's consciousness? Where did this consciousness come from? What causes consciousness? And we have to arrive at the fact that consciousness does. Things need to be concordant. Results are concordant with their causal factors. So we say that the consciousness was caused, is a beginningless continuum, and it was caused by a previous moment's consciousness, and that this life's consciousness was caused by the consciousness of the intermediate state, which was caused by a previous consciousness.
Tene jewa shima nga su shi su na yang padu ji, yang jewa shima 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 duwa yu ma ri, sasang ju dung du ri, an sen dung du ri, sen gang gi baja dang, dibi baja dung du ri, zubi nyuba yugi yugi sabba leng leng du ri.
So within the mind we have various imprints of misdeeds and various imprints of virtue, and we will again and again, the mind will take rebirth by going, having the human, or having an existence of some sort, then passing away, going to the intermediate state or the bardo, and then taking on another rebirth. So this process happens again and again because the mind has imprints of virtue and non-virtue that propels this being into various, being's kind of a loaded word, this mental continuum into future rebirths.
Ta tsende le shang chu sen kuwa gawa ya basa ba yina tse shima le yang ane shang chu sen kuwa le gabu yu kien gikin yit na teba wata ni yung gris.
So if in this life we familiarize ourselves and like to have this mind that aspires to enlightenment or bodhicitta, and we familiarize ourselves with it, then we will be born in our next life as a being who likes or seems to have an affinity for bodhicitta, or mind that aspires to enlightenment because of previous familiarization. And we can slowly become better and better. So maybe we'll have questions and answers now. We're at about an hour and 20 minutes. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. True as somyure.
Oh, yeah.
Should it be given, should the offering be made to the ultimate bodhicitta? Who is ultimate bodhicitta? Rinpoche ultimate bodhicitta.
Okay. The Shanchu Je Sem, Musem, Nusem, the Dundambi Senche, Dang Gunzobi Senche, the Chapagare. Then Shanchu Je Sem, Chupa Bu, Khandre. So first, making an offering to bodhicitta is the same way we'd make an offering to anything else. We could have it something we eat or drink and say we offer this eat or drink to the mind that aspires to enlightenment or bodhicitta. When we make an offering and we have the formula Denpa Lama Sanjay Rinpoche, Jupa Lama Danchu Rinpoche, Denpa Lama Gendun Rinpoche, Jane Gonchu Son La Chupa Bu. In there, there's an Didire.
Jupa Lama Danchu, Sanchu Sen Danchu Nolu Yor. Danchu Nolu Yor.
So in that, the offering to the Bodhisattva, in that offering, is the offering to, so when we're offering to the Dharma jewel, in that particular offering that we make, I make an offering to the Buddha jewel, I make an offering to the Dharma jewel, when we make that offering, we're actually making an offering implicitly, not explicitly, because it's not written, but implicitly to bodhicitta, by making an offering to the Dharma. Then Musen, Nusen, Dundampi Senche, Gunsopi Senche, Chapagare.
What did you do?
That's a very good question about the aspirational, engaged, and conventional, and ultimate bodhicitta.
Lesson. Then
So this is a very good question. First, we're going to differentiate between aspirational bodhicitta and engaged bodhicitta. Once one achieves bodhicitta, for instance, through traversing stages such as, or through relying on causal factors such as recognizing all sentient beings as been our mother, wishing to remember their kindness, repaying their kindness, love through the force of attraction, great compassion, the extraordinary attitude, which then produces bodhicitta. Once one familiarizes themselves with, for instance, those six causal factors and has a very stable mind that says, states or asserts, I want to become a Buddha for the sake of all sentient beings. Once one arrives at that, then he or she is called a bodhisattva and has bodhicitta once this mind has been generated. This is the aspirational bodhicitta. If then the aspirational bodhicitta is combined with a bodhisattva vow, if that being then has bodhicitta, or bodhicitta has arisen in the aspirational form, and then that being takes a bodhisattva vow, then that bodhicitta becomes engaged bodhicitta. So this is the difference between aspirational and engaged. Aspirational bodhicitta is when one first gets bodhicitta and becomes a bodhisattva, then he or she takes a bodhisattva vow, and that bodhicitta then is reinforced because of the vow and is called engaged bodhicitta. So once we go through the various formulas of all sentient beings have been our mother, remembering their kindness, repaying their kindness, love through the force of attraction, great compassion, extraordinary attitude. Once we go through these things, then we actually, the first time that we have bodhicitta, when we get it, at that moment it's aspirational bodhicitta. So then that being has achieved the aspirational bodhicitta, then he or she then goes and takes a bodhisattva vow. Once that vow is taken, then he or she becomes an engaged bodhisattva or has engaged bodhicitta. Then it's Tsongkhapa, the Temepa Tambo, the Dajombasha, then Shanshten Landro. Kon Tsongkhapa, the Dundambi Senche Mena Yuna.
That Teme goes to Nyongosun to then Tsolan Shogoro, Tijin Tsolan.
I had a question too, so I just asked it. So the ultimate bodhicitta is bodhicitta that one has once they've reached the path of seeing. So it's bodhicitta that's combined with the wisdom realizing emptiness. One goes through various stages, the wisdom arisen from hearing and the wisdom arisen from contemplation and meditation. Then one gets an inferential cognition of the nature of reality. And then one, from that inferential cognition, throughout these stages, one is utilizing emptiness with the bodhicitta, but there hasn't been a direct perception of emptiness. So one goes through these stages, achieves the extraordinary attitude, which is hlaksam, the sixth step within the seven-point cause and effect, the extraordinary attitude. Anyway, it's the sixth step of the seven-point cause and effect for achieving bodhicitta. Then one would reach the path of seeing, have a direct perception of emptiness. Then the bodhicitta is combined with the wisdom realizing emptiness, and that is ultimate bodhicitta. So ultimate bodhicitta is found on the path of seeing, the path of meditation and the path of no more learning. A practitioner at the path of accumulation and the path of preparation has not achieved ultimate bodhicitta, because the bodhicitta is not combined with the wisdom realizing emptiness. So on the path of accumulation and the path of preparation, this being has the conventional bodhicitta. That's what it's called, conventional and ultimate. I think you use different words, but it's called so many things. I'm using conventional and ultimate. Practitioner, path of preparation, path of accumulation, is traversing those stages and has the conventional bodhicitta.
That do by in a material source is, when I said that you say that the third is top, but don't say that you will be sure.
So we see it's necessary to have both method and wisdom. When we look at the aspirational bodhicitta and engaged bodhicitta, we can see that this falls into the category of method. The wisdom realizing emptiness falls into the category of wisdom. So ultimate bodhicitta falls into the category of wisdom, whereas the other bodhicittas previously mentioned fall into the category of method. So if we combine both method and wisdom, then it's possible to get rid of the afflictive obstructions, then the obstructions to omniscience, and then become a Buddha. So it's very good if we practice this or go over these things, because then I myself have to think about them also.
We'll
slowly be able to ascertain them. Said, if many people don't come, it doesn't matter. We have it recorded.
Okay.
My question just was, if a somebody achieves arhatship in a Hinayana path, and then they decide to traverse the Mahayana, they've already are an arhat. They've already seen emptiness. So when they get bodhicitta on the path of accumulation, are they engaged bodhisattva? I mean, do they have ultimate bodhicitta because they've already seen emptiness? The question, the answer is no. Yes.
Sajju gare. Sajju sa tamni ba zum tholan ne zum zigoris. Tholan ne sa tamni ba zum ba jeba ngaba duba duba jeba guba juba ba zigorwa. An tholan le sa tambu da ni ba ni tholan li waris. Sanyiba nyibarwa. Tene satambu nyiba shangju sembi saris, shangju sembi saris. Tola ne satambu nyiba sumba jubaba dole satju yuwaris, satju.
So basically the 10 grounds are grounds that a bodhisattva has to traverse. The first ground happens right after a bodhisattva has seen emptiness directly. So that's where the first ground takes place. And the 10 bodhisattva grounds are traversed through the path of seeing, the path of meditation, and the path of no more learning.
So
there are 10 of those grounds. And one on all 10 of those grounds is still called bodhisattva. Even at the 10th ground. Once the 10th ground has been traversed, at that point they become a Buddha. And there's more to it, but it would just be confusing. There's contaminated grounds and uncontaminated grounds, and so forth. So maybe in the future people can, you know, study and go over these things and then come up with even more kinds of questions based on what they've already learned today.
Yeah.
Yes.
You made a distinction between being and mind continuum.
I did. I just didn't want someone to think the I. So I don't use being, because when I said being, I meant the mental continuum that goes on. A lot of times people in the West, they hear being and think human being, me, I, like I would go to the next. And I just wanted to make a distinction, because the mind, the continuum goes, but the being, Jeff, is just aggregates that are put together and is dead and doesn't go. So there's no Jeff that goes to a next life, and that's why I differentiated between mental continuum and being, because I didn't want there to be a confusion that Jeff goes to the next life. There's no Jeff anywhere in the next life. Injike gachewa. Ge de injike sik lapsum den kongachewa. Sansang et sik trapo lagdu. Den konso de sik trapo.
De geto den amur sin. An de geto de le mazu ge tsang le an dulu saba ji gun chawru da. Ya dulu ba ya ya dulu saba ji gun cha. Den da bu.
Death is very, it's very similar. Passing is very similar to a singer who changes costumes. Has a lot of wardrobe changes and comes out and has a different wardrobe on, then a different wardrobe on, then a different wardrobe on. It's very similar to our body. We get rid of this body and we take on another body. We get rid of that body and we take on another body. So it's very similar to that. Similar to going to hotel, different hotels. So that, did that answer your question? That's the distinction I was making. I just didn't want people to be misled with the word. Okay, so maybe we're all set today, Rinpoche said, and we'll do the concluding prayers. How does everybody feel about going like an hour and 40 minutes?